Now I should stop for any questions. Yeah, we've got one from the back. Anybody upstairs who wants to ask a question, please put it on pieces of paper and we'll bring it down here and I will answer it. And I expect more profound questions from upstairs in the higher realms than these poor beings stuck down here in the lower realms. So we've got one question, then one question from over here. Yes? Yeah. We, one there and one there. Yeah, he got there first.
Question. The first one leads to what does a person like me need to do to keep the guy letting go of pain?
What you need to do to understand why we should let go of craving.
So I can understand.
Yeah.
What are the triggers that I can internalize really
Yeah. Okay, what you should do is to understand the meaning of happiness. Because happiness is the carrot which allows you to lessen craving. Because sometimes you think, the more I want, the more I want, the more I want, the more unhappy I am. And you have times in your life, the inspiring, meaningful, beautiful, the most peaceful and happiest times in your life. What were they? Were they times when you were craving or the result of craving? Or were they the result of letting go of craving? Of just being at peace? Of appreciating your family, your friends, life for what it is? Not for what it can give you, but just for what it is. After a while, it's awakening. It's wisdom. It's the clearing of ignorance. When we see what happiness truly is, then craving disappears. You see that craving promises something, but it doesn't give it. Letting go, being at peace, being kind, that gives you all the happiness. It's what happened to me when I started meditating. The happiest times of my life was when I was at peace. And I wasn't a rich man. I wasn't a beautiful man. I was intelligent. But the most happiest of times was not after I passed my exams. It was just sitting in the garden, just enjoying the flowers. The peaceful times when you're satisfied. You don't need money for that. So when you understand what happiness is, then craving is seen as an obstacle to happiness. Second question then. Can you do two questions then, Yasovia? Oh, okay, now maybe you can wait for a minute, then ladies first, and then you next.
I heard that a new way of using Buddhism is to find more happiness and stay than the.
That's actually very true, that one of my monks was looking through some very old talks which I gave about 20 years ago. And I started doing this about 20 years ago, just rearranging the Four Noble Truths. Because whenever a person hears Buddhism for the first time, sometimes it's just what people talk about. Four Noble Truths, suffering, the cause of suffering, the end of suffering, and the way leading to the end of suffering. And I just noticed that actually, that monks were happy people, and people who understood Buddhism were happier than others. So it made me think here that we were missing something. And certainly the key was the Buddha saying that Nibbanaṃ paramaṃ sukhaṃ. Nibbana is the ultimate, the highest, the supreme happiness. So that made it a lot of things click together. So the third noble truth was the supreme happiness. And all of you people, if you want to be happy and the supreme happiness is on offer, then you've come to the right place. Sometimes I don't like denigrating other religions, but in Christianity a much lower happiness is on offer, just heaven. In Buddhism we're way above that. This is the supreme happiness, the ultimate, you can't go beyond that. So now we have that goal of Buddhism. You know, the ultimate happiness. You understand what you're doing. the closer you are to that goal, the happier you should be. And so it's a great way of teaching, but it's also accurate, it's meaningful. But every now and again, someone comes up to me and says, that's a beautiful, inspiring teaching, but it's not real. I've just lost my husband. My kid has been stillborn. Or I've got a kid who's brain damaged. I've lost my job. I've got cancer. I'm in constant pain. Where's all this happiness business? What I have to tell people is that the way to happiness is not by changing the world. The world is like this. People die at any time. This is the realistic expectation of the world. You do get cancers. Kids die. I gave this simile in my book about this monk who was in this storm. He was staying in this hut with branches and twigs, and in the early morning he survived. If any branch or tree hit his hut, he would have been smashed to bits. There was no protection. But in the morning he went outside to see the damage in the forest where he lived. But what he noticed was not the trees which had been blown over by the storm. What he noticed was the leaves which were lying dead on the forest floor. You would have expected that most of the leaves which had been torn off by the heavy wind would have been the old brown leaves which have lived their life on the twigs and branches. And sure enough, most of the leaves on the floor were the old brown ones. But nevertheless, there were a few green leaves there as well, and some yellow ones as well. And amongst the green ones, there were some fresh green leaves. There were the sprouts from the day before, only just arisen from the twig. They too had been torn off by the wind and lay dead on the floor. He looked up to see what leaves were left on the twigs. You would probably expect that most of the leaves left on the trees after the storm were the young green leaves, the healthy ones. Sure enough, that was right. But amongst those green leaves, there were still some yellow leaves. And even though fresh green leaves had been torn off and laid dead on the ground, there were still some old curly brown leaves still clinging on to life, though fresh green leaves had been torn off. And he realized what we call Dhamma, nature. When the storms of death or injury come to our community, they usually do take the old brown leaves, the old and the weak, but not always. Sometimes they take the young children as well. Young green leaves just sprouted the day before. What he realized is that there's nothing gone wrong. You can't blame the wind. It's not some divine being's malice that takes away young children. He said, this is life. This is truth. This is the real world. We can't change that real world. What we can do is change the way we look at it. We change our attitude. To become enlightened, you don't change the world. You change your attitude towards the world. You become realistic, compassionate, at ease. Attitude. People want to try and change the world. We should really try to change our attitude. Change our mind. That's the way to enlightenment. And that's making happiness, more and more happiness. And that's a great marketing, but it's also accurate and truthful. Yeah, what was your second? Does that answer the question, sort of? Is that answering your question? Okay. Yes, now the second part. And then we go on to the questions from the high realms.
Follower in birth, what
there any transformation in her after you have advised her? And what sort of advice do you give her other than perhaps telling her, let go? Because I made a situation where I had a loved one who are well off, but then very tactical.
Yeah.
Do I mind my own business? And in which case I feel I'm too self-centered, or do I share with them what my understanding of what ego is?
Okay, with that lady, that she wasn't listening to me at all, so I don't think I made much of an impression at all.
You
have to let it go, because I do that to give. I don't do that to get disciples. In fact, for the last, I don't know, 20 years, I've been trying to get rid of you lot. I've been trying to make you all enlightened, independent, so you don't need to come again. I used to be a school teacher. When I was a school teacher, you wanted to try and get people to pass the exam so they don't need to come to school again. I'm a terrible teacher. Some people keep coming back year after year after year after year. If I was a school teacher, I'd get the sack. So you're teaching not to get disciples, but trying to free them. That's the whole point of teaching. Liberating. So you never need to go to a Buddhist center again. You're enlightened, you're free. In a hospital, you're trying to get rid of the patients. This is like a hospital for the mind. When people don't come again, they're either completely stupid and fed up with me, or they're enlightened. And I look off on the bright side, they must be funny. But yeah, if it's... Actually, that I saw an article in the... Again, I like these psychology journals. From the United States, they found the optimum salary is $50,000 a year. They say if you get more than that, it doesn't help you at all. It doesn't increase your happiness. Now, 60, 100,000, it's no use at all. The optimum salary, as far as happiness goes, you know, well-being, good relationships, you know, enough to get by, is 50,000. As soon as I heard that, I read that out at our city centre, and said, if 50,000 is the optimum salary, I have a special offer for people who are earning more than that. You can put the difference in our donation box. And thereby you'll be happier. What more could you get? They didn't buy it. It was a great line, but they didn't believe it. This is like rich people. Sometimes they just can't get in there. But yeah, sometimes the best thing to do with anybody, rich or poor, stubborn or not, Buddhist or Christian, is actually not to push so hard. Let them come to you. If they see you're a peaceful, happy, successful person, when it's the right time, they'll come and ask you, what is this Buddhism anyway? Why are you so happy? Why are you so at peace? When they come and ask you, they're open, and then they'll listen. If you try and teach them when they're not open, you're wasting your breath. Okay, we have a couple of questions asked for this. I mean, this is actually from the higher realms. What can you expect for the first question? What is the word enlightenment means? Enlightenment. It's two words, like light means that you can see clearly, so that all the light's going in the mind, so you can actually understand what's going on. So it's seeing things clearly the way they truly are. But it's also light means not heavy anymore. So you're just so light, you just float through life. Things happen. People call you a pig. You just float through it. They call you the greatest teacher they've ever known on earth. You just float through it. So you're just so light, nothing wears you down. Whenever you go to the airport, you don't have all these heavy suitcases, you just float through customs. That's what enlightenment means. It lightens your burden. So are you heavy or are you light? The more you're worried about things, the heavier you are. That's why when some people meditate, they go like this. They've got so much going on in their head. They're just so heavy. Some people, there's so much going on in their head, they can't get up in the morning. They try and get their head up, it's too heavy. Some a light person, someone's got a spring in their step, someone who's light-hearted, who skips through life, cancers, deaths, depressions, losing the money in the stock market, gaining the money in the stock market, skipping through, light-hearted, being enlightened. So, in the Buddhist Gem Fellowship, you can lighten your wallet. Donation box outside. And the second part of the question, if we should be content of everything, then it doesn't mean we do not need to work hard and no need to set goals in our life. No need to crave, chase for our dreams in life. It's okay to have dreams and goals, but have the right ones. The sensible ones. Sometimes some people aim to be the richest person in the cemetery. A crazy thing to do. They work so hard that they die young. So how make it the right goal? What is really worthy in life? And sometimes you have to not just listen to the adverts or the movies. It's not like to be like Bruce Willis and the toughest dude in the whole of KL. It's not like to be like David Beckham and just be the best soccer player in the whole of the world. It's not like to be like Angelina Jolie and the sexiest girl in the Buddhist Gem Fellowship. It's not like to be like Bill Gates and the wealthiest person in the world. What do people aspire towards? You know who my hero is? The one I aspire towards? Yes. The Buddha. So have a hero worship, but worship someone who's worthy of worship. Worship, aspire to something which is really worth aspiring towards. And what is the highest goal other than the highest happiness? So set goal. Set goal, happiness. That's what I want in life. Contentment. If you want praise of other people, say, I want the praise not now, I want people to praise me when I die. When I die, to think there was a guy, there was a girl who was such a wonderful friend who really helped me and served me and helped society, who really cared and did so much for other people. Make that your goal. To the end of the life, people respect you and give you the highest praise. Someone who was wise, kind, generous, who served. Isn't that wonderful? So it's okay to have goals. Make them the high goals, the goals which don't create suffering. The goals of giving, letting go, helping, serving, love, forgiving. Isn't it great that you will die having no enemies? Having forgiven everybody who hurt you or cheated you. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to do? To say that, yeah, people have cheated me, they've hurt me, they've abused me, but I've forgiven them all. And if you've hurt or cheated other people or done the wrong thing, as you do, we make mistakes. To seek their forgiveness before you die too. Dear husband, I shouldn't have said that. Years ago, I don't know if you still remember, please forgive me. Wife, I'm sorry I forgot your birthday. Really, forgive me. So you're free. It's amazing how many people, they carry around the burden of anger and guilt, like I was saying yesterday. That really is a heavy weight on you. Forgive that so you're free. That's the goal you should have in life. The goal of inner peace, freedom, happiness, joy, a wealth beyond your wildest dreams. You don't need to shoot the arrow anywhere else. Just drop it right where you are. If happiness is being in peace with now and stop the craving, why do people still want to become a monk? Shouldn't they be in peace with what they already have now and doing? Yeah, it'd be great. So don't want to be a monk. Be a monk. That's why when people start, they ordain as monks. Sometimes they ordain for the wrong reasons. You know, they're stupid. When I ordained as a monk, I didn't know what I was doing. It just felt the right thing to do. When I became a monk, I heard that entirely you could become a monk just for 1 or 2 years. You can actually disrobe whenever you want. So it was great, because I just finished a relationship with my girlfriend. I had a good job. I was still young. I'm going to go off to Thailand for 1 or 2 years, become enlightened, get that out of the way, then I go back home and get a wife and start, you know, working again. That's how stupid I was. And I thought enlightenment was so easy, just like getting another degree. And of course, when I started to realize, after I became a monk, what this really was, it was much better than I expected. Much more. Because it was not becoming a monk outside, but becoming a monk inside. Someone with few possessions, a few mental possessions. You may have few things in your bags, but how much do you carry around in your mind? When you have few mental possessions, because I don't possess the future, I don't know what I'm going to talk about next. And I forgot what I talked about yesterday. That's why sometimes I repeat all these stories and jokes. So you just live in the present moment, who cares? So be light, and that's actually what happiness is. Next question. You said about giving and serving the society. What happens when one gives too much and unconsciously others take advantage of your kindness and generosity? Kindly share your thoughts. Other people have been taking advantage of me for the last 23 years. And I invite you to take advantage of me even more. You can take advantage of me as much as you like. That's what I'm here for, to take advantage of. Isn't that what a mother does to her children? And say, children, whenever you need, doesn't matter when or how, I'm always there to give for you. That's great, like the mother's love for her child is like that, completely selfless. They just want to give. Any time of the day or night, what you need, I'll give you. Isn't that wonderful when you can do that to other people? There are times, though, when to be able to give to other people, I need to give to myself. I have to take time out and rest. About 2 weeks ago, I forget what I was doing. I was just doing funerals and talks, and I did overdo it. I got a cold. And I felt terrible. And so for the first time, I don't know how many years, every week when I'm in my monastery, I give a talk on a Wednesday night, just for the monks, no one else. Because, you know, the monks, you know, need a special monk talk. So I usually give a talk to a monk every Wednesday night, but that night, for the first time in the how many years, I cancelled the talk. Because I was sick. I've been overdoing it. Sometimes I know my limits. And so I said, no, I'm not giving any talks. Doesn't matter what happens, if anyone is running away with a 16-year-old, any of you monks, just run away, don't bother me. And so just 24 hours, I locked the door of my cave and never came out. I rested. I don't know how much I slept those 24 hours, maybe 12, 13 hours. It was amazing for me. Just my body was just exhausted. But all I did, I gave myself 24 hours and then I was back to normal. So it's when you really are tired, you've got to say, no, can't do anything, and you give to yourself. And I did that, I gave to myself, so I could serve others later. So looking after yourself is not neglecting others. You look after yourself so you can serve others better. So it's not that people are taking advantage of you, that's what you're there for. But so people can take advantage of you better, look after yourself. How can a mom practice my heart is open to you no matter who you are to her kids who are active and playful? That's what kids are like. They are active and playful. They'll be stupid. The boys will fight each other. You know, I was at the Subang Jaya yesterday talking to the kids, and one of the first questions I asked them is, how many of you fight your brothers and sisters? And they all put their hand up. Don't you love your brother or sister? Yeah, we love them. Why do you fight then? All you people married, do you love your wife? Do you love your husband? Why do you argue? Don't know. We love them. There's this lady, she was a Chinese Thai, who was married to